The Cambridgeshire Football Show on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek. We're live from Gwardour Street on Cambridge 105 Radio. I'm Ollie Slack. I'll be keeping you company for the next hour. All our three men's sides won on Saturday. I can't remember the last time that happened. United, City and Histon all winning were victorious. Cambridge United's women's match against Leyton Orient was postponed, but City ladies won 12-0. That's 31 goals in 2019 for them so far this year. That's three games. It's quite incredible. St Ives Town made it back-to-back 1-1 draws after last night's match against Barwell. We'll be chatting to manager Ricky Marinike in just a bit, talking about their season so far and what their aims are for the rest of the campaign. And we've got Cambridge City's hat-trick hero Josh Yinsan in the studio this evening to chat about the Lily Whites form, what's expecting of them for the rest of the season and all the transfer activity that's gone on at Bridge Road so far. And speaking of transfer activity, we'll be dissecting the latest Cambridge United January transfer rumours with our expert pundit Matt Lockwood towards the end of the show, talking about a certain Lewis McGugan, as well as the former Nottingham Forest midfielder is rumoured to be joining the U's. But first up, before we get chatting to St Ives Town manager Ricky Marinike this evening, let's have a look back at the U's victory over Northampton Town on the week and that 3-2 victory. And defender George Taff spoke to me after the game. He was very happy with the win and his goal, of course. This is what he had to say when speaking to us.
Incredible finish to the game today. How much is that dressing room bouncing after that?
Oh, it's absolutely mental. Can't even describe it, just how everyone was and just got the music straight on. The gaffer was... didn't have any words to say, to be fair. Just come in, looked at us all, walked out. Everyone just started going mad and great result. Three wins on the bounce. That's what we're aiming for. So we'll go on to next week.
Yeah, the celebrations after David Amu's winner. So absolute carnage out there. And fans, players, everyone lived that moment.
Yeah, crazy. Someone punched me in the jaw somehow. I've got a bit of a sore jaw from it. I don't know what happened. Everyone was piling in. So it was good scenes.
Yeah, the drive and desire was clear for all to see today, and there's a real determination at the moment to just get over the line, isn't there?
Yeah, I think getting that first goal so late in the first half, going in, we knew that we were on top of the game. The goal kind of set us back a little bit, but to get one back just before the half, we knew that second half we were going to come out and give it our all.
Yeah, it was a really key time to get the goal, and a brilliant goal from Giovanni as well, but a blow to concede so soon into the second half, and you had to have the will and a desire to get back and get the points after that.
Yeah, it was a frustrating one for me because his shot, it's ricocheted off me, I blocked it and it's gone back to him, and I've tried to get up to block it again, and it's one of them annoying goals, but to get one myself to equal it, cancelled that out in my mind.
Yeah, it was a nice moment, and you climbed really high at the back pin there.
I don't even know what happened. I don't know how I celebrated. I don't know where it went. Didn't even see it hit the net. I saw everyone screaming and just ran around in a circle.
And obviously, great scoring last week, yourself today, and it's nice for the defenders and big centre-halves such as yourself to be chipping in.
Yeah, it's especially from set pieces. We've got to be more of a threat, and Greg did it last week. I said to Greg as we was walking up, I'm going to score here. And he was saying, try and block the man, but I was like, no, I'm going for it. So... it was nice to get one. He said he was behind me. He said he was going to score if I missed. So it's all good.
And at the back, obviously David Ford picked up a knock and did be met off. And what was the discussion before the game in terms of how you would manage that and the communication between you all?
Oh, we know Dimi. We see him every day training and that. We know he's good enough. So he had to come in and do a good performance, and I think he did. He had some dangerous long shots that were moving all over the place, and we dealt with them, and we had to make sure we were around him to support him, and he grew into the game.
And the record here at the Abbey is decent, say 7 wins and 3 draws in the last 12 here. Are you starting to see, in terms of the game and the wins that you're clocking up on the board, the Abbey starting to be a bit of a fortress? Is there a thinking going into the games now that you are going to win?
Yeah, definitely. I think we had a fortress last year, and it's not even building on it. It's just expressing how we want to play, and when the fans are behind us, it can really kick you on. And as soon as I think we got the second goal, I knew the third one was coming. I just felt it, and we thought, with everyone around us, in celebrating, it just pushed us on.
And three wins on the bounce now, and the performance levels really starting to rise. What difference is Colin Calderwood making day to day at the moment?
I think it's confidence. We're beaming with confidence at the minute and trying to play how he wants us to play, and it's working, and we're getting the results. So we just got to carry on listening to the gaffer and seeing his pictures and his plans and playing how he wants us to play, and it's working.
And in terms of your own form, obviously spent a bit of time at the side and then come back in, pretty much man of the match display against County last week, and then similar today, man of the match display again. Most of the fans in the same thoughts. So you're really proud of how you come back.
Yeah, I've just had to come back and show the gaffer what I can do. I had to sit out for, I think it was something like 8 games, and it's frustrating because I just want to play. But he's given me my chance, and hopefully I'm proving why I should be in the team.
Cool. Thank you, mate. Cheers.
No worries.
George Taff talking to me and British Radio Cambridge's Doug Shulman after the match on Saturday. And let's turn our attentions now to a different side. And St Ives Town. And firstly, before I introduce Ricky Marinico, I have an apology to make. I did call him Gary before in the intro, but that is purely because his Ricky's brother Gary was my coach at Cambridge United for about 4 years. And after constantly calling him Gary on a Friday night, I knew I was going to call Ricky Gary at some point. So, Gary, firstly, apologies and thanks for coming on the line.
Hi, you're right.
Yeah,
no
good.
Problem. I'm happy to take a backstage to my brother. He's been very successful over the last couple of years, so yeah, he deserves all the limelight.
Apologies. Well, we are firmly going to talk about yourself and St Ives Town so far. So nothing like get the mistake in early and then move on. But in terms of St Ives, then sitting doing pretty well this season so far. Of course, last season finished third bottom in the division, but got transferred over to the Premier Division Central with a number of other sides. This season, sitting around mid-table, so you've really kicked on from last season. How would you assess the campaign so far, then?
Yeah, well, I'm happy with how the season's gone to date. You know, I think at the main aim at the start of this season, and probably the main aim for the start of the next couple of seasons, is going to be to remain at the level we're currently at. We understand that, you know, sometimes we're going to be in a bit of a relegation fight, but the quicker we can get to 44, 45 points, the better, because I think that will guarantee safety. And, you know, we're almost there now. So, yeah, I've got to be happy and I'll take that.
Yeah, and the switch to the Premier Division Central this season, like I said, with a number of other sides, have you noticed a difference in terms of the ability of sides and the level of football in the switch?
I think last season was a strange season, with most clubs knowing and understanding that the restructuring was going to come and that an extra league was going to be put in and that only one team was going to get relegated. I think it was an opportunity for a lot of clubs, us included, to look at that, make some changes, certainly financially, to save some money, and just make sure that you didn't finish or you weren't in the bottom club in the division and therefore getting relegated. So I think the standard of the league last year dropped, in all honesty, and I think this year the teams have, now that it's gone back to three being relegated from the four leagues, any clubs that have saved money from last year have put it back into the budget. And, you know, I'm certainly seeing this year that the standard is the best that I've seen and experienced over the three seasons at Step Three. And our league in particular, I think it's a really strong league with, you know, some immensely strong physical teams, but that have got a lot of quality. I mean, we went to Howzo and Barwell in our last two games, two teams that are below us in the league. But both games were very tough games, and Howard's Owen are one of the best teams I've seen this season, and they're sitting in the relegation places. So it just goes to show how strong the league is.
And one of those sides that moved over to the Premier Central Division was St Neots Town as well. And your old assistant manager, Jack Cassidy, moved to St Neots Town earlier on in the season. Did that move of losing your assistant manager affect you at all, or affect the side at all?
Well, myself and Jack obviously worked together for a number of years. Not only was it a relationship in football, but, you know, a really good, strong friendship away from the game as well. And he actually left halfway through last season. He had some stuff going on personally with his work and his business, and he had a vision of what he wanted to do and how he wanted to implement that. And unfortunately, that meant he couldn't really continue in the role he was with. at St Ives Town Football Club. So he moved to Bedford. Very, very successful second half of the season at Bedford. Only just missing out on the playoffs, coming from almost nowhere in the league when he went there. So he was really successful. And then it didn't quite go to plan for him this season. So when he went to St Neots, you know, he'd obviously been away from us for, you know, near on 10 months, I think. So it wasn't a surprise. You know, I can imagine that there would have been a whole host of clubs wanting Jack to be involved. He's a tremendous guy, fantastic coach, and an asset to any football club that he's working at. So it wasn't a shock, and, you know, it wasn't hard for me to deal with. Obviously, myself and St Ives Town, we appointed Craig Adams, Bully Adams, in the summer, and Craig's come in and has been absolutely fantastic for me, for the players, for the club. So yeah, you know, it's both parties have now parted ways and are both moving forward.
And in terms of last season as well, one thing that you had to put up with as well was the ground share with Cambridge City, and that meant a lot of fixtures around the wintry period, around this time of year last year, were postponed for both sides, and it meant had a backlog of fixtures. Obviously, no ground share this year with City. Has that meant that you're able to play games and hit more frequently, and the pitch hasn't been worse for wear most weeks as well?
We've got a bowling green now. People would believe me if I said that 12 months ago, but I've never seen it in such good condition. I mean, the good thing about Cambridge City leaving is that our ladies team, who are very successful under Darren Marjoram, I think they've had back-to-back promotions and are on course for a third promotion this year. They've not been beaten since September 2017. They were playing their home games away from the football club, and as soon as Cambridge City weren't ground sharing anymore, it was only right to bring, you know, that team back home, and the girls love it and they're benefiting from it as well. So it's just, I think the times with Cambridge City were great times. You know, there was obviously a financial reward from that, although most of the money was put back in for refurbishment and pitch works, etc. But it feels like a proper football club again now. The under-18s are back playing there, the ladies are back playing there, and obviously us. So it's all the teams linked with the football club back at home playing at Westwood Road.
Yeah, and let's talk about your most recent fixture then. The 1-1 draw against Barwell on the Tuesday, just gone. And that was followed up by, another draw against Houseman Town. You mentioned that earlier as well. Before that, a win against Hitchin. So three games unbeaten. How do you sort of assess your form and where you're looking to go for the rest of the season then?
Yeah, I think we're in good form. I think we've had two defeats in 13. Those defeats were very narrow. One away at Biggleswade and one away at Hitchin by the odd goal. So the boys, the last 13 games, of the performance levels have been very, very good. I think it's such fine margins at this level of football between winning and losing, or even getting draws. And, you know, if I could be ultra critical of the team and the form that we're in, we just need to look at taking a few more points and turning a few more of those draws into wins. I think Saturday, conceding the 95th minute equaliser with the last kick of the game was obviously frustrating. And then yesterday, I think we could quite possibly have held out. And we just, you know, if we have any ambitions of turning the good form into great form, we just need to continue to work hard and turn some of those draws into wins. But I can't be too critical. Like I said before, it's been a good season to date. The players are getting the rewards for all the hard work they're putting in. We just need to stay grounded, level-headed, and look to try and move forward.
And like you said, only two losses in your last 13, and 10 points off the playoffs, 13 off the bottom three. So you are almost smack bang middle table in the league. Do you feel then that you are safe? And the group of players, do you feel that you can, I guess, stop looking over your shoulder behind you and now start looking ahead of you and what's to come?
Yeah, I don't think that will ever happen naturally until you get to the points that you need to get to. You only have to look at the teams that are below us. They're full of quality. They've got very, very good players. They can put runs together and, you know, two or three wins, and all of a sudden, if you go on a little bad run, you get sucked in. But then on the other hand, if we can look forward and pick up a couple more wins, then, you know, we're looking up. So it's still so tight. It's still so in the balance. We just have to make sure that we take care of our own house and keep everything in order. And if we do that, then I'm confident that we can continue to move forward and, you know, hopefully finish in and around where we are at the moment.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Ricky. We hope so too. And hopefully speaking to you a bit later on this season, there's a few more wins under your belt. Turn those draws into wins and you'll be high up the table as well.
Appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ricky. St Ives Town manager there, Ricky Marinohike, talking all things St Ives Town, really, as they sit bang 12th in the middle of the table, or just off, just below the middle of the table, 12th out of 22nd. Like I said, struggling to turn those draws into wins, but surely with only 10 points off the playoffs, if they can do that in the back end of the season, they might start to edge closer to those playoff spots. After this next track, we'll have the travel and then be talking to Cambridge City's hat-trick hero, Josh Ayinsan. Radioactive on Cambridge 105 Radio. You're listening to the Cambridgeshire Football Show midweek live on Cambridge 105 Radio from Gwadar Street. I'm Ollie Slack and I'm joined now by our studio guest Josh Ayinsan from Cambridge City. Thanks for coming into the studio, Josh.
No problem, thanks for having me.
Yeah, just before we talk about City and their season as a whole, let's talk about Saturday then. Not a bad day at the office for yourself. A hat-trick, a 4-0 win against Yaxley.
Yeah, that was a good win for us. Nice to always get a hat-trick as well. We've been working a lot in the training ground to try to turn the results around, and it was good to get the win at last.
And you don't mind playing Yaxley, do you? That's your second hat-trick this season.
Yeah.
The City website says, can you play them every week? I'm sure you'd say the same.
Yeah, I would, to be honest. But it needs to happen every single game, if I'm honest, not just Yaxley. We need to play like that every week, and the manager's told us that, and we'll do our best to go out and do that.
Yeah, goal as well for your strike partner, Ryan Sharman. How much do you feel he needed that, given everything that's gone on and off the field in the last few weeks?
Sharman's a great player. Sharman's a good player. to be fair, he was always going to get the goals. He was working hard for the team. It was only ever a matter of time before that happened. And fortunately, it happened on Saturday. I'm pretty sure he'll, you know, keep it up and keep going with the goals as well, yeah.
And yourself, a player of a few forwards this season, alongside you, James Hall, who's now at St Neots Town, Jack Vasey, and of course Sean himself. What are the differences between, you know, the challenges playing with different strikers and players with different attributes each week? And have you got a particular favourite sort of player you like to play with? Maybe it's someone who likes to go off in behind, or someone who likes to come to feet?
To be fair, I'm a different striker from all three of the ones you mentioned. I'm more of a hold-up big man, so whoever plays up with me would, you know, do the same role, sort of get around me, get in behind. They're all good players in their own right, so, you know, I wouldn't be able to pick a favourite out of all of them. But I'm playing with Sharman now. I'm happy with him, and I'm sure he's happy with me. So, you know, we'll just try to keep that partnership going as well, keep it, you know, strong.
Yeah, and a lot of goals that Sharman scored last season were with his head. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was famous for it in the local arriving late in the box and none the minute. And yourself, you said, a big target man. So that's a real opportunity, I guess, with a big aerial threat in the box to try and cause the opposition some problems.
Yeah, it's a bonus. It gives me an opportunity to try and alternate with the way I play. Sharman winning a header, it gives me an opportunity to use my pace to get in behind as well. So, you know, defenders never know what's going to happen, whether he's going to go or I'm going to go. But yeah, Sharman's a great header with the ball, just like myself, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got to rely on obviously the good service as well, but with Nathan Olakami as well on the wing, that frightening pace, you're going to expect a cross at some point in the game.
Nathan's quick, Nathan's very quick, one of the quickest I've seen or played with, to be honest. So you know there's always going to be a cross, you know, you just got to get yourself in the right position. And we've worked on that training as well, a lot of crossing and finishing, so, you know, it just comes on natural when we're on the pitch now. To be honest, yeah.
And over the last few weeks, when we've covered City, speaking to Robbie and various fans as well, a lot of players are coming. A few players have left as well. About 8 or 9 signings coming in. What's that like as a player who's been at the club since the start of the season, seeing so many faces come in and out the door?
It's never easy because, you know, as a team, you know, you always need to gel. You always need to, you know each other, how we all play. But the management team have done a great job in the way they've got us playing so quick. And to be honest, I think that now we've got an understanding at last. And it hasn't taken as long as some people would have thought of. But, you know, we've got the understanding now. So it's not much of a difference at the moment now. To be honest, we all know each other now. You know, we're familiar with each other now.
And throughout that period, from the November, December, when I guess the puzzle wasn't really complete, there were players who were still coming in, still leaving, no one was really sure. That's when the trouble sort of started, a few losses. But now, sort of January 2019, now you've got that settled squad again. It looks as it looks on the scores here on the website, a draw against Barton Rovers and a win against Yaxley, a comfortable win against Yaxley. Yeah. The side is starting to gel together.
To be fair, all respect to Barton, we felt like we should have won that game. We had multiple chances, and it, you know, we just needed that bit of luck. And you know, we put it right against Yaxley. So, you know, it has turned around for us finally. So yeah, we hope to continue it. Hopefully it keeps going our way. We keep getting, you know, lucky. The harder you work, the luckier you get, I guess. And that seems to be what's going on for us at the moment.
And what's it like as a player? Because we've spoken to Robbie a lot, and he said, you know, we just haven't got the rub of the green at times. And speaking to fans after that Barton Rovers game in particular, they said they really should have won. And, you know, away to Tam United as well, there were chances to win the match, and if not draw it even. But what's it like as a player when just things aren't going your way and you know all the intentions of the management team and the players are to try and improve the results, but it's just not working? It just isn't really working. You know, you're not getting the rub of the green, you're not getting the luck.
I guess you just have to keep believing in yourself as a player. It can be demotivating sometimes, but as you play more games, you sort of go through things and different sort of scenarios, and you've just got to keep working. You've got to do the extra stuff and just keep hoping that, you know, it finally turns around. And that's what we've been doing as a team. We've stuck together, we've kept on working, we've worked extra hard in training, and, you know, it's finally turning around for us. So, you know, we'll just keep working harder to hopefully continue that form as a team, yeah, and as players as well.
And throughout the period, sort of the tricky period, a few sort of runs of four, a run of five losses on the bounce, and then three as well. Was there ever a period in training where Robbie and the team sort of said we need to go back to basics, we need to change it, or did he really stick by his beliefs and sort of try and plough through those bad results and come out the other side?
It's always going to be a bit of both, when no matter where you are. You know, whenever you've lost five games, you know, you've always got a sort of revert back to what works best for a team. To be fair to Robbie, he hasn't strayed away from much what he's been saying. He always knew we were a good team and we had good players. It just, you know, we just needed to believe it in ourselves. And that's what's finally happened. So I don't think we've changed anything. You know, we've worked extra hard, even though we was working hard. But, you know, we've always got up the intensity. I think it's just us working harder. And the management have made sure that we're working harder. No one's cutting any edges. We're all working for each other. And it's paying off, like I said. Yeah, it's paying off finally.
And I guess that's not a difficult thing to do, but a slightly different, more challenging aspect to really pull together when there are so many new faces. Because, yeah, you know, we spoke about it off air earlier, there aren't many players who are in that playoff final side now in the squad. Mm-hmm. But I guess you, despite the new face, you've still got to, you know, fight for the man to your left shoulder and to the right shoulder as well.
Yeah, definitely. You've got to play for your pride, for you know, as a player for yourself. You know, you got to keep your own standards, and I think that's what we all have done. You know, it doesn't matter who's there. You know, as a player, you know, you go on the pitch to win games, and that's what we're doing now. You know, we're working hard for each other and for ourselves, for the fans, for the management, and just for ourselves as well. You know, we just, you know, go out there and do what we're meant to do, what we've been told to do.
And just a quick word on the fans before we talk about the transfer period. I'm looking at the stats here, and 194 at home, 227 at home, 270 at home, so constant, you know, 200 plus attendances at Bridge Road. That's incredible, isn't it? Considering as well that it is not your home ground that you're used to playing it.
Yeah, they're fantastic. We can hear them in the warm-ups, away games, home games, they're there. And that's important for us, you know, to have that support there. Because it's even harder when you're losing games and there's no fans and there's no atmosphere. And, you know, lucky for us, we've got that. And we all do appreciate that a lot. And we just hope they keep with us through the good times, which we're hopefully about to go through now.
Hopefully so.
Yeah.
And in terms of yourself then, our reliable source as ever, Stephen Warne, who comes on the show and talks to us regularly, did mention that yourself were approached by a number of clubs, seven-day approaches in terms of transfer, but you decided to stay put at City. You know, why was that? Because I guess looking at the results here, meant like other players, I guess it would have been easy to jump ship and test yourself elsewhere, but you want to stay with City.
Yeah. Definitely would have been easy to jump ship, as you said. But I mean, I believe in Robbie, what Robbie's doing here. You know, the fans have been amazing to me. I'm playing well, you know, what I believe. So it's just no need to really jump ship, you know. I want to keep on doing well, keep on scoring goals and keep helping the team. So, you know, it's kind of hard to leave a, you know, situation like that. You know, it's no need, you know. I always knew the results will turn around. So I just, you know, it was a no-brainer. It was really a no-brainer, yeah.
And when you're obviously professional football or semi-professional football at this level, I guess there's that sort of sense of more, if I'm playing games and things are going well, then I might as well stay put because things can change so drastically and so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's another aspect of it. But, you know, like I said, it's in this, you know, level of football, you can go from good to bad like that. You can go from playing to not playing just like that. So you've got to really be careful with the moves you make. And if you're in a great position, which I, you know, thankfully I believe I am with Cambridge City, you know, it's almost like no need to sort of, you know, leave that position, you know. Yeah. And with all respect to the other teams as well. Yeah. Because they are good teams as well. But yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, Cambridge City, as we spoke with Robbie's mentioned a lot of times, they're a big name, especially in the league they're in, and their ambitions are way higher than they currently are. So, is there? Do you reckon there still is that draw to City as, you know, as a big side in the non-league throughout all the divisions?
Oh, most definitely. The clubs, you know, with all respect to every single club in this league, I believe the club should be higher. As soon as I knew there was interest for me at Cambridge City, I mean, I almost jumped at it literally because I knew of the club. I know the manager. And I know how big it is, and like you can see the attendance with the fans, it's, you know, it's got a big following. So we still got that X factor, would you like to say, that that attraction to players. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and then Do you feel now, I guess, being here since August, you wouldn't usually class yourself as a senior player, but given the amounts of ins and outs, you probably are one of the... exactly.
Yeah.
Playing vets football soon. But I guess you're used to, you know, you're more familiar with the place than many others. So do you feel a slight more responsibility now to deliver and perhaps score goals than you did when you first came in?
You could say that, but the same responsibility I felt now was the same responsibility I felt coming in straight away. You know, I always knew coming in as a striker, there's always a responsibility to score goals and to help the team as much as you can. So, I mean, in terms of that question, I wouldn't say it's... I haven't looked at it any different. I've looked at it the same. Still go out there, still try my hardest every single game to do my best.
Yeah, and Robbie's also mentioned, like we've spoke about now, that he wants to take the club higher, and the name of City and the brand of City should really sit high in the leagues. Do you think now going forward that hopefully with these next couple of results that things can turn your way? And perhaps maybe in the next couple of years we're talking about another playoff final or even higher?
You know, we want to go for it now.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be in it now. You know, we're all winners in that team. You can't be in the team we're in right now without having that sort of mentality, you know. And the manager has sort of set that in all of us. You know, we want to go for it this season, and you know, we'll keep working. And you know, I don't see why not. I don't see why not, especially after how we played last game and we conducted ourselves. I mean, we've got players within the team that are, you know, experienced, that have been there and done it within the league. So I mean, I don't see why we shouldn't go for it.
And do you feel a slight, you know, there was a boost in confidence for yourself when so many players have, you know, left the club and joined the club? There's a sense of confidence for you that Robbie has, you know, kept you and three or four other players as well, that you guys are now, I guess, the nucleus of the side.
Yeah, it is nice to know that you haven't been...
Disgusting.
Yeah,
he believes in you, I guess.
It is nice, yeah. It's definitely nice to... But,
and with no disrespect to the other players
as well. Yeah, no disrespect. I mean, everyone's got a different situation. I'm a confident person myself. I'm a confident player. You know, it's nice to get your manager's confidence and belief in you, which is, you know, definitely important. But, I mean, regardless, I would always... You know, I have that belief in myself whenever I go, wherever I go, that, you know, how good I am and my ability. So I guess it's a bit of both, yeah.
Uh-huh. And before we then get the travel and then talk about just the next fixtures coming up for City, an attraction, I guess, coming to City as well is obviously the ground, this new ground and the plans for Sawston. Yeah. Does that ever, you know, play in your mind? Do you look that far ahead when you first join a club, thinking, oh, well, they've got this new ground coming in, a couple, you know, 2-3 years, how nice is it to play there? Or is it mainly just you're focusing on your football at that current period of time?
It is nice to know that a new ground is coming, but I guess you take every game as it comes. I mean, within this level, there's so many ins and outs, like you've seen. You know, we just try to focus on each game as they come. I mean, and if we're all fortunate enough to be at the club when the new ground is here, then, you know, that's a kudos to us, you know. But I don't think that plays too much in our mind. We don't get distracted by that too much, to be honest. We just want to win every game and take a game as it comes. Yeah.
I guess that is the case, but also I guess it shows that the direction that City want to go, and it is definitely up. We'll chat more with Josh in just a bit. Thanks for chatting there, Josh. We'll chat more in a bit. After we go to the travel desk right now. Cambridge 105 Radio. You're listening to the Cambridgeshire Football Show live on Cambridge 105 Radio. We're talking more to Joshua Yinsnan in just a bit, and also to Matt Lockwood about Cambridge United's transfer rumours that are floating around. But first is a track from our new music playlist, and it's Westlife with Hello My Love.
No one knows about the things that I've been through with you. There were times I drive you nearly mental. But when you're mad, you're still beautiful. And I know that I'm punching way above. So lucky that we fell in love. Sometimes I wonder, am I enough? 'Cause you could have someone without a belly or a temper. Perfect teeth, hair growing where it's meant. You know my lips are all I can hold against you. This is all that I'll ever need, you and I.
Hello, my love. I've been searching for someone like you for most of my life. Happiness ain't about all the good things you do. When people take advantage of you, your heart is pure and so beautiful. And I know that it's just the way you are. Father's eyes but mother's daughter. And you tell me that you don't give enough. Now I found someone with all the boxes that I wanted. Your love is all I ever wanted. Set my heart on fire, I needed something. This is all I wanted to be. Without a belly or a temper, perfect teeth, hair growing where it's meant to. You know my lips are all I can hold against you. This is all that I'll ever need. You and I. You and I.
That's Hello My Love by Westlife there. A new track they performed at the NTAs on Tuesday night. Last night that was. Let's get back to the chat to Cambridge City then. And Josh Yinsan is still in the studio with us. Josh, let's talk about the next year games then. Looking at them on the website here, I guess up until Berkhamsted, who were above you in the table on the 9th of March, up until then you've got games against, you know, six sides who are all below you in the table. I guess looking at that, you could say that they're winnable games, and City really in the position they are 11th in the table, need to win them to try and make sort of that late surge to the playoff places.
Yeah, definitely. We see all those games as winnable, as you know, with all respect to them. But we can't rest on our laurels. We can't not respect them as much as we respect the top of the league. And that's one thing we're learning in this league. Anyone can beat anyone. So we'll go into that game as if we're playing the top of the league or anyone else. You know, we'll give it our all.
Yeah, do you approach these games slightly different mentally to say if you were to play Peterborough Sports at the top of the league to Killington at the bottom, because there is that sort of banana skin type effect that could happen, that you possibly a few younger players less experienced go into it thinking, you know, we can win this game, it could be a bit of an easy day at the office, but then that's how the game turns.
I think as you play more games, you learn that it's almost in a weird way, it's almost harder when you play the bottom of the league teams, because it's a chance for them to turn up and prove to everyone else that, you know, they can do it. And like we said earlier, Cambridge have got a big name. So when we play the lower teams in the league, we've always got to step up. Almost every single game, we've got to step up and rise to the occasion, because everyone wants to, you know, play us or beat us, shall I say. So,
And then, like you say, this weekend's fixture then, coming up against Dunstable Town, a side around the bottom of the table. So, and like I say, another one of those games that you should win. 12 points off the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's enough room left in the season to get there? I guess you've got to believe that, but realistically pushing for wins. We've seen last season City can go on these incredible long runs of winning games, and you made a late surge last season to the playoffs. But do you think there's enough room left in the season to be able to do it?
Most definitely, 100%. Yeah, there's definitely enough room there. Mate, as long as it's mathematically possible, then, I mean, I don't see why we can't do it. You know, we all believe we can do it. The management do, the fans do. So most definitely we can do it. I mean, and we're doing everything in our power as players, as management, to make sure it happens as well.
And finally, just so all of us at the news and the media and the radio can rest, there's no more transfer activities there. We still got to keep on our phones. You got to keep alert.
I'm playing Saturday. I'm playing Saturday.
To be fair, City fans, as long as they know you're staying, I'm pretty sure they'll be happy, Josh.
Yeah, I'm definitely playing Saturday. You know, we'll take every game as it comes, and we'll try and win each game. But yeah, I'm there Saturday.
Brilliant. Hopefully you're in many more Saturdays to come as well, and hopefully speaking to us on many more Wednesday nights as well. Thanks for coming in, Josh.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
And we'll hear more from you hopefully for the later of the season as well.
Okay, thanks for having me. Thank you.
So let's turn the attentions to Cambridge United now and talk their transfer rumours currently. So the Ewes are well into the January transfer window, as most teams are in the football league. 23rd of January, around about 8 days left of the January transfer window. Will any more incomings be coming into the Abbey? Will any be leaving the Abbey Stadium as well? Well, our expert pundit Matt Lockwood joins us on the line now. Thanks for coming on the show, Matt.
Good evening, Ollie.
Yeah, Matt, let's firstly start with one name. I guess there is only one place to start. Lewis McGugan, a famous name for many followers of the Football League. Formerly, I guess he had probably his best spell at Nottingham Forest and Watford as well. He's worked at Northampton Town as well, I think. Perhaps where he probably worked with Coldwood as well. He's training with the Ewes. We understand that. What's your initial thoughts on this potential transfer?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, really, because, you know, going into the transfer window, you know, it was pretty obvious that we were one, potentially two strikers light. And, you know, with Barry Cord departing the football club, like I think everybody expected to at the end of the day, you know, it was a key area to definitely fill, which we did very quickly with Hepburn Murphy. And, you know, we also thought that perhaps there might be one more striker at least come in, and potentially either a winger or maybe a fullback. But yeah, a central midfielder is some place where we're really, really blessed with players. And I know at times he's been using Emmanuel Osadavi sort of coming on onto the right wing, right hand side to kind of shore up late on in the game. But you know, we've still got options there with Liam O'Neill, who, you know, is currently injured at the moment, and Paul Lewis, who's, you know, been unfortunate as well with injuries, and was sort of making some headway in the team under Colin Coldwood at the time. So it's an interesting one that he's been focusing on, Lewis McGugan. But as you said, he knows him. He's a player that he's worked with before. As you say, he's got experience at Nottingham Forest and Watford. He can score a good goal. If you can't not miss any of the sort of clips that have been shown recently on social media as well. So it's going to be an interesting one. He's an experienced player as well. Is he the type of X factor, of course, that Colin Coldwood said for away games, that, you know, he could pop up with something from out of nowhere, potentially? But you know, also we have to look at, and you know, we can only speculate that potentially maybe one player might be going out the football club for him to come in.
That is an interesting one. We'll come on to one of those players you might be leaving in January, if not in the summer. But before, let's just continue with McGugan. It was, sorry, Nottingham Forest he had experience with Coldwood, not Northampton. But I guess the fact he hasn't got a club currently, that makes you always ponder questions as to why. Would it be fitness? Because he's got such great pedigree in the Championship and like I said, with Forest and Watford. So that makes you wonder why. I imagine it would probably be fitness and taking maybe a year out, not really having a club for a year. That would probably be the reason why.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the stats suggest that he's only played about six times within the past year or so. And whether, again, as you say, it's a fitness issue, it's an injury issue that he's had at previous clubs. And, you know, maybe he's just looking for somewhere to train to try and prove himself and get a short-term contract till the end of the season. Or maybe we're looking at him for longer than just the end to the end of this season. Maybe we're looking long term, as we know, you know, George Maris is out of contract in the summer, and you know, there's been no word of any contract talks. So, you know, is he the player that might come in if George was to leave in the summer? We don't know, but it seems a sensible guess to, you know, to keep him round the squads and the players. And you know, if Colin wants to make this move now and he feels that he can offer something now, then it's up to his decision. You know, he's not done much wrong since he's come into the football club so far. You know, we have to trust his judgment. And one thing that we've said about previous bosses is, you know, they haven't had a say in, you know, players that have come into this football club in recent seasons. So, you know, if he's now having a say and it's a player he likes and, as I say, he knows quite well, then, you know, he obviously wants him in.
Yeah, and just finally then, Matt, speaking on Maris, if you could turn up about 30 seconds or so, would you suggest that United cash in for him now, because obviously he's only got, will be about 5 months left on his contract, or do they use him until about May time and then let him go for free?
Personal opinion, I would say if they get a bid for him now and it's an acceptable bid, cash in on him, you know, for what he's done for the football club. You know, he's played 100 games. You know, he's been a good servant. I don't think he's shone as bright as he could have done. But if they get a decent bid in, I'd say accept it now, because we're unlikely to get too much in the summer for him at a tribunal, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely a developing story that will be interesting to see how that goes on over the next weeks, as is the story of Lewis McGugan as well, currently training with Cambridge United. Matt, as ever, thank you very much. We'll hear more from you on Saturday's preview, I'm sure, and I'm from the terraces.
Yeah, take care, mate.
Cheers. Matt Lockwood there talking Cambridge United's transfer rumours, giving us the lowdown, Lewis McGugan and George Maris. Let's quickly, before we head to Tim Willett's new music generator then and the Sky News at 7 o'clock, let's bring Josh Eanson back in. Josh, and I wouldn't say shy to ask, but I clocked it as you walked in and did a bit of a research on my phone as well, but you're a Paul Pogba stunt double.
Yeah, just without the stunts. It's an interesting job. We do adverts together. So I've been doing it for about almost 3 years now. He's a great guy, great to work with.
So you've actually met him as well?
Yeah. We do it together. It's pretty cool.
I could say you must have on like speed dial or something. and you've worked with the F2 Freestyle as well, doing sort. I imagine is it sort of just sort of promo videos like that as well?
Just promo videos as well. F2 are a big corporation or movement. They're freestylers, and that was good to work with them. Good to get myself out there on that platform as well. That was pretty cool.
And to be fair, performances like Saturday bagging a hat trick, who can tell the difference, to be honest? Might as well have Paul Pogba up front for Cambridge City. It's practically the same. And Josh, once again, thanks for coming and with me throughout the season. But that's pretty much it for today's Cambridge Football Show midweek. As I said, up next is the new music generator with Tim Willett, keeping you company until 9 o'clock this evening. I'll be back on Saturday with the Cambridge Football Show preview, looking ahead to all the weekend's football fixtures as United City Histon and United Women as well. And then, of course, stay tuned for From the Terraces, which is on Sunday, 6 till 7, and the results show, 5 till 6 on Saturday.